With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello and welcome to the Churros y Tácticas podcast on a Monday. No, on a Tuesday. I'm your host, Kian Subani, joined by Diego Lorin. We usually record Monday. That's why I got confused. I thought it was Monday, but it's not. It's Tuesday. And I'm doing the intro because we have a rule that whoever is leading La Liga, despite whatever happened, does the intro. And as much as Diego has so many reasons to do the intro, they got a 17-year-old kid breaking history, scoring within like 34 seconds of coming on. It was a really great story. It was beautiful seeing his family so emotional during the game, after the game. Really nice sight. La Masia continues to produce. And all of those payments went through also on the weekend because Real Madrid dropped points to Sevilla in some inexplicable fashion where everyone is trying to talk about the referee. Some people, like Carlo Ancelotti, don't want to get fined, so they are sarcastically saying the referee was perfect. And so it was a great weekend for Barca, but Real Madrid are still at top of the table for the last time all season before Barcelona win Clásico on Saturday and leapfrog them for good without ever looking back, with Barca getting so many of their players back before the Clásico as well. So, Diego Lorin, congratulations. This is my last time doing the intro, and I just wanted to just wish you good luck for all your intros for the rest of the season. How you doing, buddy? Welcome.
All right, man. I was hoping to get a little bit more of an energized and upbeat Kian here, as I'm a little bit under the weather myself, but I guess it's two people that are a little bit somber on this Tuesday afternoon. But, you know, it was definitely, in terms of sporting reasons, it was a good weekend for Barca, picking up a narrow victory against the always tough Basque side. Meanwhile, the reacquaintance between Sevilla, or I should say Ramos, and Real Madrid went, well, near perfect. I mean, you guys did walk away with a point, which I suppose you could argue a point in the Sánchez Pizjuán is, shouldn't necessarily be deemed a bad result. But given the disallowed goals, correctly so, I don't know what the beef is. I heard your you sent me an audio. Can you still hear me?
I can.
Yeah, I heard your audios talking about corruption. Now you're talking about payments coming through. I guess this is something that
it was not an audio; it was just a text message.
It's something that I'll have to live with and put up with whenever a referee does his job correctly. I'm eager to find out exactly where the controversies lie, because the two disallowed goals were correctly disallowed. So yeah, man. Lay it down on me. where has Negreira had some strange influence. Now, it's all over the news, you know, national news. Real Madrid get points stripped away from them. All the Real Madrid TV channels are hard at work trying to once again pressure the referees and making them understand that there is just one team, you know, state-owned team here that needs to get nothing but good press and favorable calls going their way. And referees aren't allowed to do their jobs anymore, I suppose. But again, lay it down on me, my friend.
No, you're the only one who's allowed to criticize referees and agendas and corruption. We're not allowed to do that. Only you are. The context was, silly. By the way, I don't know if I'm allowed to share this, but I guess I will. We can edit it out later. But you had food poisoning this weekend. And so
you don't need to edit that. We don't need to go into details.
It's not too private. So you had food poisoning this weekend, and I wish you the best. That's why we didn't record yesterday. And I said food poisoning sucks. I also got food poisoning this weekend from all the corruption, and I was feeling sick as well. So I can sympathize with that. Wait, can we start somewhere else?
Sure.
This is it's great that the heat is early. I wanted to ask you a question because I posted a clip on Instagram. We were talking about like the goal to the World Cup, the goal to the Champions League, the goal to the La Liga. And you responded with a shake my head emoji. I felt it was very passive aggressive. What was it that you disagreed with in that clip?
Just how you cling on to this go to. It's so hard for you to put Messi over Cristiano.
That wasn't the discussion. All I said was I just put out the goat on each competition. That's all I did. I never said who was better. What part did you disagree with specifically?
No, well, it just reminded me of this like flawed debate that
we had. It just triggered trauma? That's it?
No, a flawed debate. Debates?
No. But what was the part that you disagreed with?
Just your take in general, how like, I mean, you in general, again, generally speaking, you force yourself to put Cristiano over a Messi in the GOAT debate. And for
I never said that. I think it's subjective. I don't think one is far above the other. And I've said many times, if Messi is your GOAT, that's a perfectly reasonable take. But all I said in that clip was, and I outlined reasons why, was Pelé is the World Cup GOAT, Messi is La Liga GOAT, and Cristiano was the Champions League GOAT. Is there something that you disagreed with in that like 20-second sentence? I love it. We already know the answer. You just don't want to say it publicly because you just can't. There's just something inside you that's like, no, I must not praise other players apart from the one I worship. I must not.
That's silly. How often have I praised Cristiano? Plenty.
Once. Just when last he went week. To Juventus. That's it.
Just last week, that was a praisable
Oh, you mean the part where I talked about his goals and you said, mm-hmm, that was different. Oh, man. Well, all I want to know is where was Alcantara when Barca were trailing, where Barca needed a goal. They had to be saved by a 17-year-old kid. Alcantara nowhere to be seen. All right, so what do you want to talk about?
Will you leave our Filipino audience in peace as well as Alcantara, please?
Apologize.
Okay, you want me to address it? I guess it's well, I mean, you have all the statistics in front of you. You say that okay, there's no doubt that he's the top goal scorer of the competition. For me, though, as a whole, I think Messi has had more influence on the Barca in particular. Even though you go through like this. How long was it that this drought where Barca was getting knocked out of the European competition, and you put that solely on Messi? I think for all the times that he has been triumphant in that competition, he has had more of a impact on the game as a whole. And it might sound silly because you're saying, well, in the end of the day, Cristiano is the player that scores the goal, but Messi plays in a completely different position and a completely style of football. His approach to the game is completely different from that of a Cristiano Ronaldo as well, where he involves his team more, tracks back more, picks up the ball often, you know, within his own half, reaching the final third. And that's, you know, for me, it's kind of like those are not tangible, let's say, statistics that you can put on a paper. But certainly the eye test would say that Messi, and again, my pickle is more like the reason why I send you the shake my head emoji is because I know that overall you put Cristiano over Messi. And I'm like, you know, what Messi has done as a player or as doing even as a player. I mean, he touches down in Miami and wins him the first trophy in their entire history in no time. You know, continues to be unprecedented, out of this world, unique from what we have ever seen any other football player do.
No, I don't want to get into all that other stuff you just said because I feel like we've already had that debate so many times. Mm. But all I said was that Cristiano was the greatest player mm-hmm. in the most important club competition in the world. Mm-hmm. And if you mm-hmm. want to get into all the stuff that Messi is better at this, in this league and in this international level, I won't dispute it. My only point was that in the Champions League, he is irrefutably the greatest player that has ever played that competition. The numbers mm-hmm. back it up. The trophies back it up. That's all. Mm-hmm. I agree with you that Messi is the greatest player in Inter Miami history. Like, he came in and right away, like, it was incredible. Like, he just changed Stop. The culture. They got a trophy. Stop. Unbelievable.
Here, this is coming from you. You're just singing your praises about a guy that is banging in, pushing in some goals in the Saudi league. Give me a break. Come on.
Well, we got to praise both if we're going to praise what they're
doing
now.
Okay, but you're not really praising. You're being mad sarcastic about it.
No, where was Inter Miami before Messi came in?
I was in full agreement. I was in full agreement with your statement last week.
We agree that
the nod of the head.
Do we agree that he is the greatest player in Inter Miami history? Yes or no? Yes or no? Until Modric, until Modric comes over.
It's close between him and Higuain at the moment, I guess. Yes.
So this was real talk. If Suarez and Alba and Busquets, Messi and Modric are all there next season, that's going to be awesome. All right.
Are those rumors true that Modric is looking to join Inter Miami?
No idea.
Oh, that is the word around the campfire, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I just don't know how true it is. I mean, we know Modric and Beckham have some kind of relationship, and Modric, this is probably his last year, so why not put those two things together?
Where are you with the docuseries?
I've finished two episodes. I think I'm in the same place that we were last time.
That's exactly where you were. Then
international football ended. Club football resumed and life got busy.
I see.
Yeah. I will watch together.
You're not enjoying it so much.
I am enjoying it, but I enjoy a lot of things that I don't have time for, you know?
Yeah, but okay. I mean, it's not a Last Dance where you're like just, you can't wait to see the next episode.
The Last Dance was the perfect concoction of it was highly enjoyable. And we were all at home during the pandemic.
Also, yeah, of course. But still, I mean, it's not the Last Dance.
No, nothing. Last Dance is the goat of docs. League it's of like zone. The Cristiano Ronaldo of documentaries, for sure. all right, so to answer your question, to go back, the listeners are probably pulling their hair out because we keep on digressing. You, of all people, have been calling out for consistency, right? Tell me the difference between the lines that were drawn on the first disallowed Real Madrid goal and the one that was scored by Marca. Do you want to tell me the pronunciation of his last name so I don't get it wrong?
Giu?
Okay. What was like the difference between the lines drawn in those two different plays?
The lines are continue to confuse and continue to be head scratching, without a shadow of a doubt. The margins are so fine. They leave the spectator in complete sheer another, frustration. Denial perhaps is another adjective I could throw there, but certainly clarity and precision is something, two areas where La Liga need to improve on massively. Now, I don't have the lines, graved into my head in this moment where your first goal was disallowed, correct? Because the second one was the Rudiger foul.
First two are disallowed, yeah.
But the second one was disallowed because of the Rudiger foul.
But it wasn't a foul. Like, it wasn't called as a foul. That's the head-scratching thing. He blew the whistle because of an injury. So Rudiger makes a challenge on Campos. The referee looks at Ocampos and says, get up, no foul, and walks away. All of a sudden, Real Madrid are on a counterattack breakaway, and the referee blows a whistle. And then it's like, and it wasn't called a foul because it was a drop ball after that. And it was not a head injury. There's no reason to stop the play. And so that was the head scratching part.
Very strange.
The other one, there was two more big ones. I mean, there was actually a couple more things for both teams. And I just to be fair, and I said this on the Managing Manager podcast as well, I'm very, very thankful that Bellingham did not get a red card for that stomp on Rakitic. Because if he did, he's not playing Clásico. So I was like, whew. But then there was also the Vinicius penalty where Jesus Navas comes in behind and just takes him out. And it's like, what? Like no reaction, no review, nothing.
Now the referee is, we have image or audio and video footage of him actually admitting to Vinicius that he was wrong.
Okay, I didn't know that. But yeah. Still.
So okay, Madrid got hard done by in this game. It's quite funny, Kiana. I don't think we shared it with our audience, but I've been called back to Barca Studios for these next 2 weeks to commentate the games that we have played in La Liga so far. And it's kind of serving as a reminder as well, just the terrible officiating that we have seen. Obviously, in my case, in the case of Barca, hinder certain clear moments that are, clear as day. Penalty calls that on another match day, you see them given to other teams. And on this occasion, on those occasions for Barca, they're not being called. The Lamine Yamal, tackles in the box, the shoves inside the box that are penalties on other days. Robert Lewandowski getting manhandled, literally rugby tackled by his neck. An illegal tackle in rugby. I actually mentioned that in the broadcast. I'm like, this is an illegal tackle even in rugby. Not being caught, not being awarded a penalty. And I could go on, I'm five match days deep in so far. And every match day, and I'm kind of, I guess, taking a page out of Real Madrid TV's book in a sense that I want to be overtly
biased.
Well, that and also calling out bullshit where I see it. And there are so many instances that we haven't even discussed on this podcast that reviewing it a second time are just so blatant. Fouls, yellow cards being shown or not being shown, that, it's demoralizing. And we talked about being disconnected from the game last week. The more I see, the passing of the match days and the more I see these inconsistencies and just straight up blatant miscalls, mistakes, call them what you want, but these things occur. I feel like more than ever, like more than any other season, es que ya no me da la gana. I'm just kind of like, what the fuck is this? Like, what is this? Why is it so hard? What is making the referee's job so hard to, as you said, draw clear lines? There are some offside calls that you're, it's impossible. It's impossible to call it an offside or onside call, to make an offside or onside call, even with the lines being drawn, because when the lines are actually appear on the screen, you're there literally with your nose, you know, touching the screen, trying to make it, trying to make out if the lines are even drawn correctly or not. So look, I'm a firm believer in technology and its ability to make the game better, to make the game fairer. And, you know, I mean, this obviously since the Sevilla Real Madrid team, every time, since the Sevilla Real Madrid game, every time you turn on the television, all they are doing it this week is talking about this game. And I disagree with the vast majority of pundits, of analysts, some who I have a deep admiration and respect for, who are actually now calling for the end of VAR and technological interventions in the game of football, because they're saying, you know, it's just not working. I disagree. I wholeheartedly disagree. I think that thanks to VAR, we've seen many more, you know, calls gone the right way. It was an Us article that I won't forget that they actually put out last year that compared the league standings with or without VAR, and with or without VAR, I think Real Madrid would have had like an absurd amount of goals called in their favor, and would have ended up winning the without VAR.
Yeah, because they're the team that has had the most disallowed goals in the VAR era.
Right, right. But those being the right calls. So my point is we're clearly going in the right direction here.
In your opinion?
Well, in VARs, I mean, I think in the majority of the cases, Kian, you and I would have to review it one by one, you know, on a podcast or sitting next to each other and see where our disagreements lie. But I think in the vast majority of cases, we could at least come to a consensus and say VAR has helped make the right call in this case. But I agree with you that still too often, and it's frustrating for fans, you know, from all sides, obviously, the wrong calls continue to be made quite inexplicably so. You know, whether it's a referee not even going to VAR when he clearly should, all these like discrepancies or this, you know, moments where there's still a lack of clarity for at least, you know, the spectator and even the commentators, because how often do we not hear the commentators themselves say, well, why this? Why is the referee not going to check VAR? What, this is a penalty situation or this is that kind of situation. So it continues to be, there continue to be too many gray areas in moments where I see, you know, it could easily be black or white. And yeah, that's highly frustrating for sure.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The problem is not VAR. The problem is still human error. And that's one thing. I agree with you that I don't think VAR should go away. I think VAR should be there. But I thought that all of these problems that we have with mistakes that referees make would have been solved with VAR. But that didn't happen. And it didn't happen because referees still look at footage and can make the wrong call. And when that is coupled with slowing the game down also, it's a nightmare. So what is it we have to do? I don't know. Like, I've been thinking a lot about this. I mentioned this to Lucas yesterday, Because like, and Xavi was like, today's Xavi's pregame press conference for the Shakhtar game was like basically just about Real Madrid and referees. And he was asked, like, do you think the Clásico will be a little bit, in Spanish, they said, will it warm up? Like, as in, like, is it going to get more heated? I don't know what the, like, correct English
version is. Va a calentar.
Yeah, like, spicier.
The English.
Whatever. Right. Anyways, and he said no, and he gave his reasons. But, like, I was thinking about, I think this Clásico is going to be gong show for whatever reason. I don't know. It's just a hunch I have. I feel like it's going to be spicy because of the relationship with the clubs, because Laporta's upset that Real Madrid said stuff about Barcelona publicly. This goes all the way back to the video about the regime last season or summer, whenever it was. There's tension right now. But I just feel like there is going to be some controversy on the cards. And I mentioned this to Lucas, like, why don't we, at least for Clásico, bring in an outside referee? Like, why not bring in, like, a Mark Oliver? Like, for example, for the two Clásicos this summer, this season. Like, and then I thought about it more. I was like, I'm so fed up with all this nonsense that why don't we just, like, this is an impossible idea, so take it with a grain of salt. But what if we just had, like, the entire season, every game, it was just, like, a referee from a different country? So that we could at
least get... Champions League, basically.
Yeah, basically. I don't know, just because I'm just kind of tired of every single game we're just talking about refs and often racism. And it's like, I don't know, it's just like not as enjoyable sometimes to like watch a football game anymore.
No, I agree. And you know, whether it's the refs and another thing I was thinking is, maybe you know more about this than me since you're in North America, but, you know, I mean, video reviews, video footage, referees taking the time to review a certain play, to review their own call. It happens all the time in basketball, in the NBA, where sometimes it can get, you know, slightly long-winded, but it's sort of part of the deal. You know that is just something that is part of the game. In my opinion, they don't get too many calls wrong. Another game that and that's why I say maybe you know more than me, is in American football. It's been part of the package since forever, right? I mean, is there much controversy surrounding like NFL games
I don't watch it, but in the NBA, right, they do radio reviews and it's never controversial.
Right.
I mean, never is not the right word. There are sometimes, like, yeah, for sure.
Where you hear the home crowd with a bad call, you see it on the screens and they go, woo.
Well, yeah, they boo everything, no matter what.
Right. But sometimes it might be more blatant than others. But
There was a LeBron sequence last year. I forget what it was exactly, but that one was really, really crazy. And everyone was like, how could you get that wrong? I don't even remember what the play was now. But yeah, it's not as controversial in like NBA, which is the only other sport that I watch.
Yeah. So I don't know, man. I think it's a work in progress. I want to think that with each season, there will be improvement. Maybe that's idealistic and unrealistic because it certainly feels that this season we've taken a step or two backwards. But again, I'm going to, you know, stick to my guns and say, you know, we need VAR. Let VAR, VAR stay. If anything, what La Liga should be incorporating is the ojo del halcón, right? The eagle's eye, to also allow for goal line technology to be in place, which the price of it is like symbolic, basically. But Tebas is still refusing after several years to not implement that, even though it is proven on the World Cup stage, for example, to be very effective. You look confused. Do you know what I'm referring to?
The goal line
technology.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So like things of that nature, I think can only, you know, referees, as you said, you know, they're human and their interpretation will probably sometimes, if not in some cases, more often than not, depend on their own interpretation of a play. Even though they, of course, have compañeros, they have colleagues on the other end of the line giving their input as well. You know, release that stuff. Let's hear it. You know, we heard it in the Premier League a couple of weeks ago. Massive controversy in that Liverpool, what was it, Liverpool game against, I forget who it was. It was maybe Liverpool. Arsenal was a big game.
The Tottenham game.
Tottenham. Where, you know, the wrong call was clearly made, but they were at least unapologetic about it and then said, look, this is what was being said. The call came in late. The referee's colleagues were actually saying, hey, you know, the goal should have stood. It wasn't offside. But the game had already continued on and, you know, it was too late, stop the game and track back time. And, they had to run with it, but, you know, be transparent. It's all this lack of transparency as well. This secretism, if that's a word that just adds to the frustration and creates more mystery, and feeds into, certain conspiracy theories.
Speaking of lack of transparency and goal line technology.
I was going to admit everything that I had when I had the stomach flu. I was going to list.
I wasn't even going to go there. I was going to go somewhere else. I don't know if Javier Tebas's salary raise report today. You see that?
What was that about? Yes. How did La Liga teams like vote for that and only two teams?
So this is all according to El Español. Every team in the first and second division, except for two, Real Madrid and the other one, unknown, voted for a 2 million euro salary raise for La Liga president Javier Tebas. And the only reason I can think of they did that is probably because he promised them something in return or whatever. You think about the state of so many teams financially in La Liga right now. You think about the fact that this is crazy. I only know about this because I read about it in a Managing Madrid article today. This puts him on par with Xavi's salary, or more. I think it's more. It's more than Xavi's salary. It's way more than Infantino and Seferin, who are like the FIFA execs. And it's also like somehow prioritized over goal line technology, which La Liga still hasn't gotten because it's quote unquote too expensive.
Too expensive.
What is happening?
It's absurd. It's absurd. And may I add to that very, you know, reasonable and valid list that you just put out, what exactly has Javier Tebas done to deserve this very hefty, healthy raise in his salary?
Just talk shit.
You know, it's usually right. Is it like based on merits, objectives?
Here's what, objectively speaking, what he's done is he has enforced a strict salary cap so that teams don't go financially bust. He's introduced some cool tech stuff with regards to cameras. I believe La Liga's revenue as a whole has gone up. TV rights have gone up, but it's also like just conflicts with a lot of the other stuff he's done, like the CVC deal, which is really bad for the long-term vision of La Liga. I just don't think this is even close to something that should be prioritized. Not even close. Like the list of things I would, like, if I had to make a big list of things that should be prioritized, I'd even include like a salary raise for me and you on the Churros Tacticas ahead of that.
Hear, hear.
At least we bring some entertainment value. Like you have your whole shtick with like pretending that Barca's like not corrupt and like there's no conspiracy against Real Madrid. That's like entertaining, you know. It's like it's funny, you know.
God, ay Dios, lo que tengo que soportar.
Well, look, okay. Well, let's talk about some football stuff because
What did you? Okay, go.
I was just gonna ask, like, what your thoughts were about Mark Gu. That whole thing, like, must have been cool as a Kool-Aid watching that.
It was cool as a Kool-Aid watching that, indeed. Yeah, and you know what was fun, of course, is or particularly nice was to see that Mark Gu came in for Fermin Lopez, who had a very good preseason and continues to get minutes as well in for the first team here throughout this early phase of the regular season, of the domestic season. It just seems like, you know, Xavi is the right coach as well to give pass and make way for these Masia talents that I think, and this is sheer speculation, of course, but had it been any other coach that wouldn't know the intricacy, but also the talent that exists within La Masia, the way in which they train, the way in which they play, these players wouldn't have necessarily enjoyed so many minutes in the Spanish top flight under a coach that, again, wouldn't either value younger players as much or just simply not know and not care. And I'm referring to maybe like an Ernesto Valverde. I can't really throw Ronald Koeman in the mix because he was somewhat, quote unquote, forced to make use of the younger talents given the financial strain that the club was heavily under in at that time. But, you know, we also know that Koeman was very eager and keen on getting players the likes of Wijnaldum into the squad or Luc de Jong, etc. Mind you, Luc de Jong who's doing very well in the Eredivisie at the moment. I think that in the case of Xavi, it's just kind of a perfect fit for these young players to enjoy minutes with the first team. Mark Gu, who actually was plucked out from a crop of players by Xavi himself when he was a very young still. I think he was 11 or 12 years old, as I seemingly remember to read, when he was one of the players that was partaking in one of Xavi's summer camps. So Xavi has like a summer camp and saw Mark play and told him to apply to make trials, to go for the tryouts for Fútbol Club Barcelona, and eventually enrolled into the youth system there and has been slowly but steadily, you know, adjusting and fitting to the Barca system and climbing up the ranks as well. So it's, I think it's great to see all these young talents emerge. It seems sometimes that there's kind of like no end, and it's still early days, of course. I mean, we have so many of these stories from your Bojan Kirkic to Tello to Cuenca to, more recently an Ansu Fati or even an Abde for that matter, that, of course, those players haven't worked out. Maybe there's still hope in the case of Ansu, who's on a loan spell. But my point being is, so quickly are these players hailed as the next big blank that maybe pressure can, overcome these players and kind of then we see them fizzle out into a player that in the end goes on loan and kind of never finds his spot anymore within the Barca system. So, you know, very early days, of course, but it was just the perfect moment for Mark Gu to make his debut. I don't know if he broke any records by becoming the fastest scoring debutant in La Liga or something.
I think it was, it was some kind of record. Fastest scoring, youngest something.
Something, right. And you know, add to that, of course, that the likes of Lamine Yamal also having become the youngest debutant in La Liga, the youngest scorer in La Liga. You still have your Gavis that are very young. So, I mean, just Alejandro Balde, etc. So there's a very good mix, balance of experienced you know, experienced elderly players, older players, your Gundogans that have just been a seamless fit, Robert Lewandowski, who, you know, at least now again is back to scoring ways in La Liga as well. He had a very, you know, stop start or a very iffy kind of start to his Liga campaign, but he's still, as a figure in the Barca dressing room and on the field, commands a lot of respect and is certainly an authoritative figure. So between those kind of elderly, more experienced players and this mix, this crop of young players coming up, I think it's a fascinating blend and quite exciting to follow, of course. And you know, I wish them all the best.
Yeah, that's all a fair take. By the way, it was at 17 years and 291 days, Mark Gu is the youngest player to debut with a goal for Barcelona in La Liga in the 21st century. So it's actually more specific than I thought. But I feel like I saw somewhere about how fast it was too. So maybe there was two different ones. I don't know. Two different records. Also, was it his first touch, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, look, what's naturally going to happen is, of course, the way everyone, the hysteria of fans and media is that now this guy's going to have a lot of pressure on his shoulders for unfair reasons. And I don't know, I have no idea what this means for the future. And there's been a million of these players, as you said, not only at Barca, but also Real Madrid, who just kind of could be great, could be good, could be bad. I'm not sure. But the point is, regardless of what happens, is that I think Barcelona did a really good job here and Xavi did a really good job of finding someone that can help them right now. Irrespective of what's going to happen in the future, if he's going to be great or not, I think it should be commended that, like, you know, you're pulling deep into your resource pool to find someone who can help you right now. Yeah. So that's admirable.
And mind you, can I just add to that, Keon? It is, I find it admirable as well. It's very daring and very brave of Xavi because, you know, this is with La Liga on the line. I mean, we were playing a very tough Athletic Club side that were certainly not making things easy. Quite the opposite. You know, they had their own chances to score a goal as well. It was still 0-0 at the time. So to put in such a young player with no prior experience, to, you know, Xavi would have to have been very certain that Marc Guiu had what it takes to perform on the biggest stage at that moment, you know, because it could have very well been maybe overwhelming for such a young kid. It could have very well been, you know, a situation where the pressure just gets to the player and it's all too much. And God forbid, you know, maybe mark like a stain in that player's career. I mean, my point being is, you know, the introduction, I feel there's a lot of responsibility on Xavi as well to give a young player the right kind of environment and introduction to his first game at the highest level in the Spanish top flight. And it was a brave, but also a daring move by Xavi that fortunately worked out for team and player alike. In the best way possible. I mean, he scored the winning goal. But I would like to think that Xavi knew exactly what he was doing by introducing Marc Guiu to the big stage. And not to say that he knew he was going to score a goal, but just that he was mentally ready to take on, you know, the such a big responsibility.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy.
Chumba.
The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes.
Chumba.
ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So I'm really glad you're back at Barca now, or at least on a part-time basis, because you're going to know basic information, like when does Barca play, who's available, who's not, because you lost all that when you left. Now you just kind of know some simple details now. Do you know, because Xavi said today, you know, the players who did not make the squad for the Shakhtar game, I'm going to get, they're not there because of health reasons, but I'm going to get some of those players back for Clásico. Do you have any inclinations on who those players are? I believe, isn't Pedri's in the squad for Shakhtar, right? I think he's in the squad.
I don't think so.
He's not?
No, as far as I'm concerned, like, players that are definitively out are Pedri, Frenkie, Lewandowski, who am I missing? I'll need to check. But to answer your question, no, I don't know that today. Maybe for Friday's pod, I'll have more information. But it does seem like, yeah, we'll be missing half of our starting lineup, at least five players.
In the Clásico, you mean?
Yeah.
Can you so go over those five players again?
So hold on, let me pull it up, okay? So it's Pedri, Frenkie, Lewandowski. With me here. Go on.
I was going to say, these are the players who are out right now.
Yeah.
But I feel like some of those players could be back for Clásico, given Xavi's rewarding today.
Well, so what did he say exactly? I didn't see his press conference.
He said, he said some of the players who are out against Shakhtar will be back for Clásico. He just said some, but he didn't specify anything more than that.
Okay. Well, then maybe. So I plead sheer another nonsense or ignorance here. I don't know. I thought that Koundé, Pedri, Frenkie, Rafinha was the other one, and Lewandowski are out.
Right. Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. What are your big, besides the two obvious ones, who you guys obviously replaced with fine players in Kepa?
So besides Militao and Courtois, Camavinga left training. The last training, but I don't think it's too serious. But I don't know if he's going to play against Shakhtar. They may just sit him out just in case. I don't think it's that serious. Who else?
We're playing Shakhtar. Where are you guys playing?
Did I say Shakhtar?
Yes.
I meant Braga.
Braga. That'll be a good game.
I think that's it.
Okay.
I think that's it. Knock on wood. We have a game to play today. We're playing in a couple hours. And who knows? Like, you know, this thing, we could have more updates by the end of the week for both teams. I'm not sure. My guess is, did you say Sergio Roberto too? He's one of the ones, right?
He's also, yeah.
Yeah. My guess is that Lewandowski and Rafinha will be back.
That's just a hunch.
Those two will probably be the ones. Because those were the two that were a little bit more closer to return, Whereas Pedri, Koundé, and I'm not sure about Frenkie, they seem to be a little bit more long-term. But Pedri's like, my assumption is like everyone will be back by mid-November. But for the sake of the Clásico, when Xavi says some, I'm going to guess it's Rafinha and Lewandowski. Which I'm not even sure.
It's interesting you said that. Yeah.
If you're Barca, do you even want Rafinha to start this game? Or are you more trustworthy in Ferran and Yamal?
I mean, you know, I'm really liking Joao and I'm really liking Lamine Yamal. So I'm having Felix and Lamine Yamal in my starting lineup.
Yeah.
Kind of always at this point.
Yeah. And Ferran should take the last spot because he's playing well too.
He is playing well. But Rafinha is Rafinha, man. And he, you know, I don't want to take anything away from him or his importance neither. He's still a player that always produces when he's on the pitch. Can score goals outside the box. You can break in between lines, pull defenders with him.
But based on his lack of match rhythm, probably doesn't make sense for him to start over Yamal, for example, or Zhao.
Yeah. But we'll see. Maybe it will be a front three with Ferran, Joao, and Lamine Yamal.
Before we wrap it up, can I just give you a quick analysis of Girona?
Please. Can I just say one thing?
Yeah.
And then you can go on your rant. I cannot believe the merit. I mean, the achievement for Girona to continue to punch above their weight and be up there with the likes of Madrid and Barca, in particular after an Oriol Romeu, who we knew or know was so fundamental to Michel's system, you know, was plucked away and returned home to Barca, that they are still able to again continue to produce results is beyond my understanding. Really, it's unbelievable.
It's really impressive. They've right now tied on points with Real Madrid, top of the table. They've scored the most goals in La Liga, more than Barca, more than Real Madrid. And mind you, they're overperforming their XG and expected goals against. But the question is, like, can they sustain? Can they sustain? I think it's clear to me that just by watching them, by the end of the season, I think it's reasonable for them to be a top five team. And like, what was the game I watched on the weekend? Almeria. They were dominating and they went down two goals in the first half at home. And even watching it, I was like, at no point did I feel like it was threatening to them, because they were clearly the better team. They were generating a bunch of chances and they just blew them away 5-2. And I think it's, look, naturally what happens to these teams over the course of a season, if they cool off, it's not necessarily because of a lack of quality and talent in their starting 11. It has a lot to do with the lack of depth and how much they can sustain going through a long course of a grueling season, whereas teams like Real, Barca, Atletico will just have a little bit more depth. But I don't think these guys are going away just by watching them. I think they're pretty good. So, again, I don't know. I'm not saying they're top two good, top three good, but I think they're top five good, legitimately.
That would be incredible. I mean, that for them to achieve top five, it would be go down as I mean, the most historic feat a club has ever achieved. It's
Well, I don't know about that.
But... Well, besides from promotion, maybe. No, absolutely. Dude, I mean,
well, I'm thinking about like teams like Elche in past years and are not Elche, Eibar.
Eibar, you mean? Yes.
Savio
Eibar looks... never finished top five though.
But didn't they make it to Europa?
Did they make it to Europa League? Oh, I think you're right.
Or
I
maybe
think they did.
Just missed out. I can't remember. But either way, it was so impressive what they did because of the size of their.
Yeah. But they're also playing really good football, and that maybe is something that separates them from an Eibar that was more conservative in their approach with, you know, given their resources and everything, all respects. But Girona actually play good football, attractive football, and they play de tu a tu, as they so beautifully say here in Spain.
Specifically, between Dovbik and Alex Garcia and Savio, those three in particular have looked really good. And Miguel is a solid left back too. They have clear talent. And of course, I wonder, because I was talking to my dad about this. And he was like, it's so impressive what they're doing. And we're talking about, like, if they were actually allowed, I don't even know if this is a good or bad thing, but if, because they're obviously a city football club group, city group team.
Well, not officially. Not officially. They're not owned by a city football group.
They're not?
Mm-mm. They're not a city football group owned team. No.
What's the affiliation then?
I think the affiliation more kind of like has to do with his, like Pep's. I think it all stems from Pep's brother, who's Pep Guardiola's agent. And no, bro, he also has ties.
The city football group has a 47% stake in Girona.
Let me see.
They're a part owner.
But they are not. They do not appear on a city football group website as one of their clubs. I'm pulling it up.
They're not. They don't own it 100%, but they are part owners.
Okay.
Yeah.
And sorry, so, no. They do. They're right here. That's interesting because it was always my impression. So they do appear on a cityfootballgroup.com website, but It was my impression that all of the teams that are owned or part owned by a City Football Group all sort of adopt the same, more or less uniform colors. You know, the kind of light, the baby blue colors with. You know, if you look at the New York City crest, the Man City crest, the Melbourne City, they all seem to kind of have this uniform. Even I think it was Mumbai City, you know, that adopt the light blue colors and all that. Obviously, with Girona, it's not the case. But anyway, I'm wrong. So ignore everything I said.
Well, we were just talking, like, if La Liga ever loosened their salary cap rules and the Qataris could go in and turn Girona into something. They already have a few Manchester City players on loan there. And you just know that if they could use that as a team that acts as kind of like a developmental tool and a team that they can strengthen for also their own purposes. And like, look, don't get me wrong. Like, even me talking about it, you can already see the conflict of interest. Also, there was a report recently. Who were City negotiating with? Didn't they ask if Barca could send Eric Garcia to Girona? Remember that?
And that was the whole.
Yeah, and that was a whole controversial thing of like. Anyways, so there's like. All that stuff, all that background noise that would go into a discussion like this that would make it problematic. Right. But if they were allowed to spend this, I feel like this is a team that would rise in a significant fashion in La Liga. Similar to like what Newcastle has done in the Premier League. Although Newcastle is a much bigger club than Girona, like historically speaking.
Or Manchester City for that matter. I mean, you know. But yeah, you're right. So I'm shocked. Like I knew about the link, the ties obviously between the two. I never thought it was officially part of the City Football Group. I'm just going over the teams that they do own and their crests, and you can see that the vast majority indeed have adopted and adjusted their you know teams' logos and crests to kind of fit the colors schemes. The brand identity of City Football Group, but Girona sticks out there like a sore thumb because it's, you know, super red, obviously. But yeah.
I could be wrong, and this is completely ignorant comment. I have no idea if this is true or not, but could be also have to do with the fact that City are 100% owned by that group. Whereas in Girona, they have a 47% stake. So maybe that could be part of the reason. I don't know.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Bro, I got to upload this and do some stuff before Real Madrid take the field against Braga.
Yeah.
Our next podcast will be on Friday, which will be a banger because it's the day before Clásico. So I'm sure we'll talk about Clásico stuff. And you can submit questions to that podcast if you're a patron over on patreon.com/churros, eTacticas. Go there, ask your question. There is no question off the table for Diego now. We will take as spicy of a question you ask us. Anything you want, controversial, do it. If it gets us talking and arguing and fighting, you can do that, because Diego and I will still boomerang back to being friends after, so it's all good. But if you want access to it and also ask the question, and we would love to have you there, because it's a nice big churro family, patreon.com/churros. E-tacticas. Diego.
Agreed. And don't forget to follow us on social medias.
Yeah.
All of them. TikTok, the Insta, to Twitters. And tell your friends. Subscribe. Be part of the family, because we really are. I super enjoy this family that we've created here on Churros y Tacticas, that, you know, slowly but surely we continue to evolve and grow. So form part, become part, and sign up.
100%. All right, Diego. Thanks, buddy. We'll chat Friday. Take care.
That's good, buddy. You too. Have a good week. Peace.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.